This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Contrary to popular belief, the most successful companies and businesses in the world don't always start out by making lots of money in their first year. In fact, some of the biggest companies in the world spend years and years and years just surviving and barely making any money at all. And then one day they're able to turn a profit and they just keep going from there. Today's episode is going to be all about those companies. I wanted to talk about the early years of giants in today's business landscape and how they started out by making absolutely nothing. The criteria to make this list is that all of these companies had to have zero profits for at least the first 5 years, and you'll be surprised to find that some of the names on today's show went on for a whole decade without making or showing any profits or managing to show any profits on their ledgers. And yet, here they are today shifting the economy and changing the world as we know it. This is 5 for Fortune with Arvind Yuvaraj, and today's episode is called Giant Companies That Didn't Make a Profit for the First 5 Years.
Number 1.
You can't talk about giant companies without talking about Amazon, so let's talk about them first to kick things off. We've all heard or read things about Amazon's humble beginnings, right? It was started by Jeff Bezos, who's now the richest man in the world. He left his cushy Wall Street job to sell books online and started selling in the tens of millions within 2 years. All of that stuff, you know? But a lot of people don't know that Amazon didn't really make profits for the first, not even the first 5 years, but for the first 9 years of its operations. In fact, people are still confused as to how much profit Amazon actually makes for itself today. I think there's always a confusion between the value of a company versus the profit that it makes. For example, WhatsApp, right? It doesn't actually make money. It has no fee or charge or advertising or subscription service to generate any kind of revenue for itself, but it's worth about $9.3 billion. So in Amazon's case, it was started by Jeff Bezos in his garage or an office that looked like a garage and had sales that reached $15.7 million by 1996. And they were pushing $148 million in 1997, just a year later. In terms of sales, that's huge, right? That's massive, but it doesn't exactly say how much the company was making purely in profits for itself. The answer is, it wasn't making anything. By the end of the 90s, Amazon wasn't even as promising as it was before, like in 1996 and in 1997. Even though it had a revenue of $1.6 billion in 1999, they still managed to lose $719 million in that same year. Things got worse in 2000, when Amazon had only about $350 million in cash on hand, despite raising billions and billions of dollars in value for itself. The thing is, because of how much value the company had and how fast it was growing, Jeff Bezos and gang finally turned a profit in 2003, which, like I said, was a whole 9 years after being founded and 7 years after going public. And even that came at a price, because Bezos could only get to that stage by laying off a seventh of Amazon's workforce and by closing some distribution centers, which, you know, which I guess is a pretty standard thing for any growing company that's trying to figure stuff out. But it also shows that even the biggest business giants sometimes start out slow. And in the case of Amazon, they sometimes don't make a profit for almost a decade before they finally break through that ceiling. Right, so I'm gonna cheat a little for this next one. I mean, technically, this company didn't make money for years. For one of its avenues, right? Let me explain. I'm going to talk about the Turner Broadcasting System, or TBS, and while they are a massive conglomerate, there was a deal that didn't make them any money for years and years until they finally cracked that barrier.
Number 2.
I don't think there's a problem when it comes to Ted Turner and making profits. The guy is a money-making machine, right? Everyone knows that. He bought his first TV station called UHF 17 in 1970, and within a decade of that, he literally bought the Atlanta Hawks and the Atlanta Braves and Superstation 17, which became the thing that made him famous for a long, long, long time. He also started a wrestling company called World Championship Wrestling, or WCW, but that's a whole other story for a whole other show. Anyway, this guy was on a non-stop acquisition spree, right? But this is where things would kind of slow down for the multi-billionaire. See, in 1979, Ted Turner changed the name of his company from Turner Communications Group to Turner Broadcasting System, or TBS, which became a whole new company on its own. This is the company that launched CNN, or Cable News Network, in 1980 to about 1.7 million subscribers. So far, so good. 2 years later, TBS launched CNN2 and was strong enough to merge with MGM Entertainment with a $1.5 billion deal in 1985, which means now Turner had access to MGM's film vaults, which pretty much gave Turner a whole new line of content to play with. Unfortunately, the whole merger put Turner Broadcasting in a financial strain because of a few unforeseen reasons with the business landscape at the time and all that stuff, and TBS realized that it was going to be difficult for them to make profit. The company wouldn't record an annual net profit until 1991. Now, if you're wondering how they did it was all thanks to the coverage that CNN provided throughout the Gulf War's Operation Desert Storm phase, and the channel managed to gain a worldwide audience of 1 billion viewers. Turner started to make some pretty decent profits after that, and in 1996, Turner Broadcasting merged with Time Warner, and the company enjoyed an insane $7.4 billion in revenue by 2010. I guess the moral of the story here is to never give up, or try and try again, or just go big or go home. One of those things. I'm pretty sure there's some life lesson here. We'll figure it out, and we'll talk more about companies, giant companies that didn't make a profit for the first 5 years at least, when we come back. BFM 89.9.
Best for money. BFM 89.9.
And we're back on 5 of Fortune. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and we are talking about giant companies, just these insanely massive names in today's business scene that didn't make a profit in their first 5 years of operations, and how they finally broke that glass ceiling in the end. We've spoken about Amazon, obviously, and then we spoke about Turner Broadcasting System. Now let's talk about a company that's relatively new, but is on the news almost all the time, at least here it is, and it's because of its founder, the one and only Elon Musk. Yep, we're talking about Tesla Motors at number 3 on today's list.
Number 3.
I don't think that I can think of another major company that's as divisive as Tesla Motors, or any of Elon Musk's companies for that matter, like the Boring Company or any one of it that he has. On one end, you have people who think that Tesla and everything that Elon does is nothing but a sham, that he's a talker and a dreamer and not exactly a doer, that his ideas are way too out there to be realistic. But on the other hand of the spectrum are people who believe Tesla and Elon are the ones who will engineer our future, you know, that the technology that comes out of these companies will drive us forward and change the way we live. Whatever the case, Tesla's trajectory as a business and as a company alone has been pretty unconventional, just like the projects that they work on. The initial idea was pretty straightforward for Tesla. They were going to create the world's first electric sports car for the mass market. Now, what a lot of people don't know is that Tesla wasn't started by Elon Musk at all. It was actually started by, it was founded by Martin Eberhard and Mark Tarpening back in June 2003, and Elon Musk invested enough to become chairman of the company in 2004. And then 5 years down the road, the United States Department of Energy gave Tesla a massive $465 million loan, which gave Tesla enough confidence to go public in 2010. Now, through all of this, Tesla wasn't making any profits for itself. It took the company 10 whole years, even with the loan from the US government, for Tesla to see a profit in 2013, as reported by Wired magazine. It said that Tesla recorded sales of $562 million, a gain of over 80% from the last quarter, with 4,900 Model S sedans delivered. Now, how exactly did they do this? Well, see, the public or the people may be divided on the whole autonomous electric car issue, but car companies see the real value in Tesla's technology, which is why Tesla was able to make money by selling development services for Mercedes-Benz B-Class Electric and Toyota's RAV4 EV. So, like it or not, Tesla has actually become one of, if not the most important car company in the world. Whether or not they fully succeed with their autonomous vehicle plans is actually irrelevant at this point, because the technology technology they provide to other companies can make them a lot of money while they try to perfect their own line of cars.
Number 4.
Right, moving swiftly along to number 4. There are a few companies in this world that have become verbs because of how popular they are and how synonymous they are with the thing that they do. Like when we say, just Google it or just YouTube it. And before there was all that, there was just FedEx it. FedEx is synonymous with the courier service. It's like the default way people send stuff when they want it delivered fast. Anyway, FedEx was the idea of a guy named Frederick W. Smith, who back in 1962 wanted to start an overnight delivery company to meet the growing demand of customers. And when I say idea, I mean he wrote about it in a paper when he was attending Yale University. So yeah, Frederick went on to become a pretty successful entrepreneur, and in 1971, he used $4 million of his own wealth and an additional $90 million from investors and founded Federal Express, or FedEx. But, however, that being said, FedEx failed to take off at first and was on the verge of bankruptcy, if you can believe that. So, how exactly did Frederick come out of this rough spot? So this is what Fred did, and this is in no way condoning a method like this, but Fred took out $5,000 from the company itself, which was pretty much all that the company had left. He flew to Las Vegas with it, and he played blackjack. Yeah, so he gambled with the only amount of money that the company had left, and it miraculously paid off because he came back with $24,000 in hand, and he used that money to cover the cost of fuel and to keep the company alive for another week. And in that time, the guy raised another $11 million to keep Federal Express running. Now, in all this time, the company was still not making any profits. It was not making any money for itself. FedEx only made its first real profit in July 1975, and it hasn't stopped making money since. And you know, even with all the competition from other delivery services and by other logistics companies, FedEx is still worth $5.5 billion and isn't showing signs of stopping anytime soon. Anyway, before we get into the final segment on today's episode, if you miss any parts of this show and you would like to listen to it again, you can do so by downloading the BFM app, available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. Now, our final segment on today's show about giant brands and companies that didn't turn a profit in their first 5 years or more is all about ESPN and how, even though they struggled at first, still managed to become the most recognizable sports network in the world.
Number 5.
So, in the beginning, ESPN started out as a father-son team business. It was actually started by Bill and Scott Rasmussen, and they paired up with Aetna insurance agent Ed Egan to launch the All Sports Network in 1978. A year later, they add their first ever Sports Center, which is now pretty much the most famous sports-related program in the world. SportsCenter is pretty much a brand all by itself. Now, even though they were growing as a company, they weren't exactly making a lot of money. In fact, the company was losing money fast and had to look for financial support from other bigger companies to help them stay afloat until they could sort of figure out how to properly generate profits for themselves. So what they did was, they managed to create a pretty solid partnership with the brewing company, Anheuser-Busch, who gave them $1 million 1 year and then added another $5 million to the pile the following year. The fact is, without support from Bush, ESPN would have closed shop a long, long time ago. They were able to survive and put out quality content all the way until the mid-80s, and then they finally managed to turn a profit. Today, ESPN is worth $40 billion, and if the acquisition by Disney goes through, either Disney or Comcast, one of them is going to snap up ESPN, ESPN's reach could expand overnight beyond anything the initial founders even dreamed of. Speaking of founders, there was plenty of drama at ESPN when it came to top management. There was a time when Scott Rasmussen left his position because of a serious conflict, but I guess if we need to have some lesson from this story, it's that they stuck it through and asked for support when they had to. And today, ESPN is one of those brands that's so high up in their league of sports networks that even the ones who are second and third in place will have to move mountains just to be where ESPN is at. And if that isn't success, then I don't know what is.
Thank you.
Anyway, that is all the time that we have for this episode. But as always, stick around and wait for Enterprise Biz Bytes while listening to some pretty solid tracks that we have lined up for you. Lots of good tech and business stories are coming up to keep you up to date. So yeah, stay tuned. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on 5 for Fortune, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.